and welcome to another episode of the Positude Podcast. I'm your host, Maggie Hart, and this week I'm taping for you live, at least part of the time, from my big comfy chair at my kitchen table while I'm looking out the window enjoying the little bit of sunshine that I'm seeing, because this is legit the first sunshine I've seen in almost a week and a half. And since rare is the occasion where I get the opportunity to actually tape in the daytime before the hours of 10 o'clock and like 5 a.m., at least for the first part of the show, I'm basking in the beautiful sunlight that's filtering through my stained glass privacy window, filling the room with rainbows and prisms and all sorts of pretty colors, and it's just a really cool vibe and a great energy to start the show. Because it's still too cold to sit outside on my back deck and enjoy the sunshine, so I'm taking whatever I can get, and I'm enjoying the solitude and the quiet that is, at least for the current moment, filling my environment. And plus, I get to look at my pretty house plants while I'm talking to you, so that's always a bonus. Even though I have a veritable jungle in my living room and upstairs in the hallway as well, I love my houseplants, and they just really add to the ambiance of a home, but also they serve to purify the air, and they're just amazing to care for and look at and enjoy. At least in my opinion, you might not be a plant person. What's your thing? For me, having that little bit of nature indoors, especially with the decline in the birds, as I was talking about a few weeks ago, which still come to my feeder, but absolutely not as plentiful as they once were, is a source of personal satisfaction and enjoyment for me. Especially when I can go right over to the window and pluck off fresh parsley and oregano and basil and a variety of fresh herbs to supplement my meals. I've got aloe vera to soothe a burn and other medicinal herbs to help if I have a stomach ache or if I want something to rest. I can make an herbal tea out of, or a tincture for colds and stuff, and a salve for minor cuts and bug bites, you name it. I got it right here in my house. My own medicinal and spice rack and sources of beauty within arm's reach whenever I need it or desire it. So even if you're not particularly into houseplants and herbs, with the times that we're facing, you may want to consider getting at least a little pot with your basic herbs in it to grow, or maybe some microgreens as a source of food, or just a topper even on a salad or a burger. You can buy or construct a simple hydroponics tower for a room in your house where you can grow fresh lettuce and vegetables all year long in the comfort and privacy of your home. And the bonus is they're not going to be affected, hint, 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 by what's coming down from the sky and going into the regular outdoor soil, which now would be a good time to mention as well that if you don't have an air purifier or several, I would absolutely suggest that you look into purchasing one. They're not overly expensive. You don't have to have the best one on the market, but that and houseplants, which naturally purify the air, may be something that you're really going to look for in the future and be sorry if you didn't purchase it now while you had the ability to do so. I have those little activated charcoal bags too. They don't require a source of electricity, so you just hang them up inside your house to purify the air. Once a month, set them outside in sunshine for like a day, flip them over halfway through, and you're good to go. Recently, I discovered if you are into houseplants that English ivy is widely recognized, this is from Google, as a natural air purifier, particularly for removing common indoor pollutants. According to a NASA study, English ivy is the most effective houseplant for filtering benzene, trichloroethylene, and formaldehyde, chemicals found in cleaning products, furniture, and building materials. It also shows strong potential in reducing airborne mold up to 78% in 12 hours, and fecal matter particles up to 94% in 12 hours, based on a 2025 study by a California teenager and co-authored by a nurse practitioner. And of course, it goes on, and it's actually maybe AI, not Google, whatever it is when you do a search, says that while it performs well in controlled tests, experts caution that real-world effectiveness in typical homes is limited due to small plant numbers and room size, and goes on to say that traditional HEPA filters are better, of course, but if this is what you have, I say use it. One side of my entire house was covered in it, and it's absolutely gorgeous aesthetically. However, let me tell you, once that stuff digs in, it's hard to get off. So here's a plan that I have. I'm going to try it and see how it works. I'm going to go get some from outside, bring it inside, make sure that I have plenty of space to trellis it. I'm going to put it in large pots in different corners of each room and train it with stakes and plant clips to control the growth. Because I've also been on on a mission to clear out and declutter and get rid of a lot of things that are no longer needed by the household. I've gotten rid of my lifelike fake trees and shrubbery, and I'm going to replace it with the live stuff and put the twinkly lights on them that I had on my other fake foliage so that I can still have the same type of mood and ambiance, especially in my dining room, which a lot of people come to visit and say it looks like an Italian restaurant. Only I'm going to replace most of the electric twinkly lights with solar and battery operated because, let's face it, like I started out the show, sunlight isn't as prevalent as it used to be for some reason. Geez, I wonder why. I'm replacing what I don't need with stuff that's functional while still maintaining the welcoming energy that when anybody comes to my home, they always feel comfortable here. In fact, most times they don't want to leave. While I'm clearing and decluttering physical things and replacing some things with things that are functional, I'm also maintaining the clarity of the energy that is within these walls. The spiritual cleansing and protection energy that I do constantly has helped to amplify and up the vibe of the inside of these walls incredibly. And that's something that I also would encourage you to do is at least weekly go through and spiritually cleanse or energetically cleanse, actually both, your living environment. Because as you're absorbing all of this negativity and toxicity from what you're listening to, what you're reading, the vibes of people that are coming in and out of your home, it's absolutely something that you should be doing periodically to get rid of the negativity that will tend to cling to your space and to your person. You also want to protect your space inside and outside to your property borders and may even choose to extend that to your community as a whole. I know for some of you new listeners, that might sound a little bit too woo-woo for you, but energy and intention are everything, especially if you're living with a toxic family member or have toxic neighbors. Do yourself a favor and just give it an honest effort. Do it for a week and see how you feel, and then just maintain it once a week. The goal here is to make your home your fortress, physically and spiritually. You could have all of the arms and personal protection and provisions to help ensure yours and your family's survival indefinitely, but if the energy inside is rank, you're going to feel, if you're stuck there for a while, like you're trapped in a dark, dingy closet, especially if you already have claustrophobic tendencies. So why not make those few extra changes that don't take a lot of time or energy or money to make your home truly your spiritual solace spot as well as your physical place of respite and protection. So now in conjunction with that, I'm going to give you a quick 5-minute somatic reset for grief and war anxiety. Because the energy and input that I'm receiving this week is people are struggling with loss and also anxiety over possible wartime situation. With both separation from loved ones because of political tensions and differences of opinion, people aspiring to be better people and just separating from others in their lives or general hardcore losses, this one will help you and also to help you with the stress and anxiety that you may be experiencing because of mostly the mainstream media and the fear-mongering that's going on, but also some legitimate concerns. So no cosmic fireworks here. This is pretty basic. You're going to do this sitting, standing, or lying down. Stress lives in the nervous system. Impending doom lives in the nervous system. So does grief, not the thoughts. This moves the body from threat mode to now mode. So like last week, you're going to orient to safety, look around the room slowly, name out loud or silently, 3 things you can see, 2 things you can hear, and 1 thing you can physically touch right now. This is going to tell your nervous system, I am here, not there, now, not the future. You're going to anchor by putting 1 hand on your chest, 1 hand on your lower belly, press gently, not comforting, and slow your breath in through the nose for a count of 4, and then take a slow breath out through the mouth for a count of 6, and do that 5 times. Longer exhales serve as kind of a brake pedal for the stress response. Then do a containment squeeze for like 90 seconds. You're going to cross your arms and give yourselves a firm hug. Gently squeeze your arms and shoulders for 5 seconds, release for 5 seconds, and repeat that 4 to 5 times. This mimics being held and tells your body, I am contained, I am not falling apart. For a grief release, because grief gets stuck in the chest and throat, you're going to take about a minute and roll your shoulders up, then back, then down slowly 6 times. And then you're gently going to sway from side to side like you're rocking a baby. If emotion comes up, don't analyze it. Let it pass through. And then you're going to seal your truth with a statement, which takes about 30 seconds. Say out loud. It's important you do it out loud. Right now, in this moment, I am safe enough. Not everything's fine. Nothing bad's going to happen to me, but safe enough right now. That is what your nervous system needs. The fear of a war is anticipatory trauma. Your body does not know if the threat is real or imagined. It just braces. This exercise is going to help to ground you in the present, restore your body boundaries, discharge any excess survival energy that you're holding, and allowing grief without drowning in it. You're not bypassing, you're not denying, and there are no panic spirals. If you're in public or at work and you're feeling these feelings, a quick one is a foot press. It takes 20 seconds. You're just going to press your feet into the ground as if you're trying to leave footprints. Don't move, just press your feet. And then do a jaw and tongue release, which takes about 20 seconds. Let your jaw loosen, press your tongue lightly to the top of the roof of your mouth, and then let it drop. Do that 3 times. And then a breath with a count for 20 seconds. Inhale through your nose for a count of 3, and exhale through your mouth for a count of 5. Silently on that last exhale, say here, now. And that's it. Nobody's going to notice, but your body will. Before bedtime, if you're starting to feel anxious, please don't doom scroll before bedtime. Do your relaxing breaths and look at comedy, watch something funny. But when your brain wants to do disaster simulations at 1 o'clock in the morning, do a body placement for a minute. Lie on your back or side, put one hand on your chest and one on your belly. Let the bed hold you, don't hold yourself. Do an extended exhale breathing for 2 minutes, where you're going to inhale through the nose for a count of 4, exhale through your mouth for a count of 7. If it feels stressful, just make the exhale longer than the inhale. And then a muscle drop scan, which takes 2 to 3 minutes. Start at the top of your head and move downward. Soften your forehead, your eyes. Release your jaws. Melt your shoulders. Widen your chest. Let your belly fall. Let your hips get heavy, your legs get heavy, your feet get heavy. Don't force relaxation. Just permit the weight. You can also start at the top of your head and say, the top of my head relaxes. My face relaxes. All of my facial muscles relax. My eyes relax. My nose relax. My mouth relaxes. My ears relax. My neck relaxes. And do that all the way to the bottom of your body till you get to your toes, to the end of your toes. Or you can do it the first way. The containment phase takes about a minute. You're going to say softly, out loud if you can, nothing is required of me tonight. Repeat that 3 times. This is going to signal completion to your nervous system. Now, it's important to note, because this matters, these exercises do not deny your reality. They stop your body from living in a future that has not happened yet. Grief still gets space, fear still gets acknowledged, but your system is not allowed to burn itself alive over speculation. Remember, if you need any extra help for any of these types of situations or any of your spiritual, physical, mental, or emotional needs, you can get a hold of me for either one-on-one, group, or family counseling, life coaching, whatever it is that you're searching for. Reach out to me at Maggie, M-A-G-G-I-E _ Hart, H-E-A-R-T @outlook.com. All right, cannolis, I've moved into my big comfy couch because the sun's gone down. Hopefully you're in your comfy clothes in your comfy spot with your beverage of choice and your snacky snack. Let's get started with the clippies. First off, I got a lady who asks AI very politely, hey, what's Project Nimbus? 2 clicks later, she's like, oh, so Google, Amazon, military cloud contracts, geopolitics, surveillance infrastructure. Cool, 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 cool. Why does my chest hurt? Because nothing ruins your Tuesday like discovering your phone might be a tiny pentagram with Wi-Fi. Now, this clip is sort of old, but I thought you'd be interested in it because I thought it was kind of cool. Sebastian Martin of Terra Novellis is somewhere with his eyes closed doing CIA-grade remote viewing. Kind of like yoga, but spookier. And he's like, okay, I'm seeing Saddam Hussein on his property, and he's releasing. You're just going to have to wait to hear the clippy. I'll give you a hint, though. It's not monarch butterflies. And the CIA agent listening was like, do we file this under paranormal or hostile architecture? And speaking of CIA, I got another clip from a former CIA pilot who's like very casually, oh yeah, aliens live on Mars. No hesitation either. He says it the way somebody says, yeah, the target on Fifth has bad side parking, and he's got more secrets too. You'll have to listen. And then there's Javier. Ah yes, the man allegedly stuck in 2027. Javier's like, guys, I'm telling you, the world ends this year in November. November specifically. Not vague, not sometime soon. He circled it on the calendar. Nothing screams credibility like time travel with a deadline. You ask him how he knows, and he's like, trust me. Trust you? You can't even escape 2027, bro. Why would I trust your forecast?
Capacitor.
Next up, Marshall Law Guy. You know the type. They're always yelling, always sweating, always in a truck. It's coming in hot. Marshall Law has been coming in hot since 2003. At this point, it's not coming. It's stuck in traffic. He's like, they're gonna shut it all down. Who is they? The DMV can't even coordinate lunch breaks. I guess it's possible they could pull off a seamless authoritarian rollout, right? But seriously, on that note, things are getting a little precipitous. Next, I have the Verizon outage lady, who's whisper yelling. This outage, soft launch. Soft launch. Like authoritarianism as an iPhone update. They're gauging our reaction, she says. When the internet goes down, people lose their minds after 4 minutes. You don't need a focus group. We already failed the test. And she's teaching people how to prep. Prep how? Everybody's list is just canned beans, flashlight, and vibes, seems like. Except, of course, for my listeners, because they're what?
Savvy.
Aw, how'd you know? That's why I got you covered in the beginning. And I got some clippies, too, actually, of a Danish guy who appears very stressed. Please do not follow Trump on Greenland. He's pleading. He's begging. If you take Greenland, it's World War III. World War III? Over ice? I actually think he's a pretty decent guy, and I like the way he speaks. I watched a bunch of his clippies, but the other one that I'm going to play for you is when he's talking about the meetings over Greenland and how Vance was there, because nothing calms geopolitics like hearing, don't worry, guys, Vance was there. And I got an old clippy from David Wynn Miller. Pops up like, oh yeah, UFO in Greenland. Of course. Of course there's a UFO in Greenland. That's where the DLC content lives. Greenland is just Earth's loading screen. And then the timeline whiplash hits maximum. People are like, anyway, the Clintons allegedly ignored subpoenas related to Epstein. Allegedly. Everything's allegedly because the internet has learned one legal word and is abusing it. No, they've been making excuses not to go, and we'll hear about that in the clippy I'm going to play for you. And then after that, a Minnesota Somali senator allegedly arrested allegedly sexual assault allegedly and also not allegedly 23 bricks of cocaine and $14.3 million. Wait till you hear this one. At that point, that's not crime, it's interior design. 23 bricks? Somebody saw that headline and said, wow, that escalated. Anyway, because now personal data of 4,500 ICE agents is leaked. People don't even blink anymore. They're like, oh no. Anyway, did you see? Whatever. Trump's steps up to a podium, like, I have the greatest healthcare plan, we got a clippy about that, and you're like, okay, here we go, and he goes, I give the people money, they pay their healthcare, kind of sounds like a Venmo healthcare plan, doesn't it? Here you go, sweetie, don't spend it all in one ER, but hell, I'm all for it. I think it's going to be a good thing if it goes through. We'll have to wait and see. New York enters the chat. Mandami and unpaid traffic tickets, $8,500 worth? Are you kidding me? That's not ignoring tickets, it's collecting them. At that point, it's a hobby, it's like Pokemon. Gotta catch them all, parking violations. And while we're here, $1.2 billion healthcare fraud in New York? Yeah, New York, we gotta do it upright. We gotta overshadow Minnesota and every other state in the union by having the biggest fraud, of course. We even overshadow Texas, where they do everything big. Put your lighters in the air.
The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the host and possibly her pets, who occasionally walk across the keyboard, jingle their collars, drink some water when they can't steal mom's coffee, growl while wrestling with their siblings, and even snore at high volumes when they feel slighted and are bored. Any resemblance to actual facts is purely coincidental, and this show is solely for entertainment purposes only. Wink, wink, nod, nod. While every effort has been made to ensure accuracy, sometimes our brains run on coffee and wishful thinking and possibly a conspiracy theory or two. This broadcast may contain traces of sarcasm, bad puns, and music to make you dance. Side effects may include spontaneous laughter, eyebrow raises, and the uncontrollable urge to sing along. Listen responsibly.
Let's kick it off with a triple shot of Rachel Rienstra, Dr. Michael Sala, and Gaia Unexplained / UFO Elder.
much to the end. I don't know how to help you. I'm asking what Project Nimbus is. Please, please listen. So, what is Project Nimbus? I would love to know what Project
Nimbus. Rachel, that's a great question. What is Project Nimbus? Let me tell you. Project Nimbus is a billion-dollar deal where Israel hired Google and Amazon to build a private cloud, like a supercomputer in the sky. Every government branch gets access, even the military and intelligence agencies. The contract says Google and Amazon can't say no. They must provide whatever tech is requested. We're talking AI, facial recognition, and surveillance tools all feeding into one system where it could track Palestinians, predict their movements, and even guide military operations. Some Google employees leaked documents and protested, saying this tech is being weaponized against human rights.
You think?
Supporters say it's just modernization. But when big tech and government fuse together with no oversight, it stops being about progress. It starts looking like a digital control grid. That's Project Nimbus. Not just cloud computing, but the storm behind the cloud.
How can we stop it? Can we stop it? I didn't mean to depress you, but that was an accident. Or was it?
I don't know if you heard that story when I was doing remote viewing for the CIA and I was asked to remote view the details of a piece of technology that was taken out of Iraq during the Gulf Wars. And that Stargate was literally taken out of the country and then stolen outside of the country. So CIA lost track of it. It was managed by the Secret Space Program and in Iraq. And those scientists that managed the Stargate, which was underneath the summer palace of Saddam Hussein at the time, and Saddam Hussein was fully aware of the Stargate. He blocked off all the entryways to go in underground because he got spooked by the beings that showed up through the Stargate, which was then active. And those beings were Anunnaki. And he basically saw them as genies, you know, like the, not the genie in the bottles, but literally demons. He was really frightened by those beings, and he didn't want to have anything to do with them.
You're not fooling me, because I can see the way you shake and shiver.
There's a civilization up on Mars. There's two factions that have been fighting for hundreds of years, and that fight is still going on. That's why we're not allowed to land anything there. If we try to send up anything there, they shoot it down. There's a civilization up on Venus. Venus is a really nice place to live, and they look like just, you know, us. Uranus has civilizations, and the people are in huge round containers that contain housing, and they orbit Uranus. The one that orbited between Jupiter and Mars was a planet called MAN. Man, I think there was 100 billion people there. They had tremendous innovations. Their buildings were, you know, made of gold and silver and highways of diamonds. It was really something. That plan did not fit into the agenda that the serpents had. And the serpents, I've told you, are the head of everything that goes on in this universe. And for some reason, Planet Man, they blew it up. It took them 1.5 seconds. Nothing was left except the asteroid belt. All the stuff gold and stuff we find on the surface of the Earth, those come from the Planet Man disintegrating.
The Earth? Oh, the Earth will be gone in just a few seconds.
Oh, well, don't bother, Dan. No point in wasting money on a flying saucer when the ice's not gonna...
Next up, the Javier Clippy from Conspiracy One.
Heavy echoes and feel yourself starting to turn. Don't know why you should feel that there's something to learn. It's just a game that you play.
You won't believe what this guy just said. Remember Javier, the man who claimed he's a time traveler stuck in the year 2027? For years, people thought he was just another internet hoax until he started posting videos that no one could explain. He walks inside the White House, completely empty, no guards, no people, just silence. He says he's the last person alive, the only survivor after the world ended. And this week, he dropped his scariest video yet. He finally revealed the exact date it all ends. According to him, this November, everything we know will cease to exist. And here's the chilling part. Scientists have actually confirmed a mysterious 2-4-kilometer-wide object is heading straight for Earth, arriving this November. So, is Javier telling the truth? Or is it the biggest coincidence ever?
Time passages. There's something back there that you left behind. Oh, time passages. Buy me a ticket on the last train home tonight.
So the Javier video, I think, is the same guy that I played the video of back on the week of January 5th. And that one, the person who did the video claimed that he was in 2055 or 2065. Now all of a sudden he's in 2027. Damn, this guy gets around. And in the last clip, he was in Paris and now he's in Washington. Okay. And of course, the people in the comments section are jumping on the bandwagon with the clippy that I played about Trump's statement that was taken out of context, saying that we wouldn't have a Christmas this year and the whole Alexis thing. There's no Christmas 2026. Go back and listen to my archives if you missed that one. His defenders are also claiming that when he started to put these videos out several years ago, there was no AI. Well, remarkably, for everything sitting around for so long, there's also no dust on anything. And oh, by the way, who landscaped everything in the city squares and outside these federal buildings? Because everything's manicured. There was a futuristic movie that came out where it showed like an end of the world scenario and everything was overgrown, which makes sense to me because no landscapers. But this is just another example of how easily the American population can be duped, and common sense doesn't seem to enter into the equation at all, does it? Entertaining nonetheless, though. The next triple shot is from Appalachian Prepper, I'm Not Gonna Be Quiet, and Scotty Bryson, BTS.
Breaking news, martial law is coming in hot. This morning, President Trump told a room packed with generals that America is facing a war from within. He wasn't talking about a foreign enemy. He was talking about our own cities. Trump named places like San Francisco, Chicago, New York, and LA as training grounds for U.S. troops. And here's the kicker. Troops are already on the ground in at least 5 major cities: Memphis, Chicago, Washington, D.C., Portland, and Los Angeles. The president said we're under invasion from within. No different than fighting a foreign war, except this enemy doesn't wear uniform. His defense secretary backed him up, calling for looser rules of engagement and untying the hands of soldiers here at home. Say this crosses into dangerous territory that blurs the line between military and law enforcement and risks putting American troops directly against American citizens. One thing is certain. The United States military is no longer just preparing for war overseas. It's being positioned for war on U.S. soil. I've been trying to prepare you for this since 2023. I told you it was coming. I will get some new videos together as soon as possible. Stay sharp, stay aware, because what comes next may change everything. Let me know your thoughts in the comments and be sure you follow for more.
The Verizon outage is another soft launch. It's for you. What are you going to do? Where's your plan? Have you enacted it? They did this last year with like AWS or something, some other huge outage bigger than this one. But I know it's happening in Philly, DC, New York, and about 5 other states. So what are you going to do? We've talked about this before, the stages of change. It's pre-contemplative. Don't know that there is a problem. Contemplative. Know there's a problem, thinking about it, planning, said what the problem is. I'm putting a plan together, and now action. The plan is in action. It's in motion. We're doing it. All the steps are being followed. And then maintenance. Like, this is our trial run, right? Like, I don't think we caught that last year when they did this little outage stuff. But, like, yeah, this is their soft launch, and we need to be prepared. So right now, what happens? What do? Do you shelter in place? Do you meet up somewhere? How is that communicated if your cell phone is not working? Those are the questions that you should already have answers to. And if you don't, do it now. Do it now. Get with your people, make your plan. And you have to like run through the plan, right? ask all the questions, interrogate every possible possibility so that everybody has an answer. Like, be very clear. This is what we do when this happens, and then do it. No hesitation. And then what happens for the folks that miss the boat? You gotta have an answer for that. We're here, people. It's here. We're here.
One ringy dingy. Two ringy dingies. And a joyous good day to you, sir.
Let's talk about the cell phone outages from today. Now, I don't know about you, but when the talking heads get on TV and start telling me this is not an attack, makes me kind of think the other way, you know? I don't know if it was yet or not. I hope it wasn't, but it's a little weird. You know, I've been with Verizon a long time, and I've had tremendous success with them, or I wouldn't have stayed with them. But today, F minus. I don't know what happened. I sure would like to know what you think. I have a lot of thoughts going through my head right now. Number one, what happened? Are we under attack? Number two, and probably more importantly, we have to have a plan. We have to have a backup plan. I'm preaching to myself right now. I have rapid radios. They're doing me no good sitting in a drawer at home. I'm going to start carrying one when I travel. I've just decided that is going to happen from now on. Is that something extra to keep up with? Is it going to be a little aggravating? Yes and yes. Am I ever going to leave home without it again? Nope.
So that was a retired federal agent, and I have to agree that we should have some sort of alternate plan in place. I have CBs in my closet that I've been meaning to get fixed for probably 5 years now, but there are shortwave radios, there are ham radios, the long-distance walkie-talkies, and the satellite programs, which I did check into. They seem to be extremely expensive, like a couple thousand dollars expensive, but it would be a good time to look into alternatives.
Here's how I justify having a landline. I'm like, well, I need a landline in case all the cell towers go out, and then I could call no one.
He's got a point. I don't know, smoke signals?
One day my cell phone started smoking, and the people standing around me thought I was sending a text message.
But these are things we've been talking about for years, and the potential is always there for something to happen. You know my motto, be prepared, have it. It's better to have it and not need it, but don't freak out over the news stories. Use your discernment. Like I teased about in my intro, they don't need to do a test. They already know that people go crazy if they don't have phone or internet after like 2 minutes. Let's get into the Greenland clippies. The first one from Frederick H. Jort, then H.R.H. Eliot, and then Frederick H. Jort again. Listen closely, because H.R.H. Eliot's take on the clip that he saw of the politicians, where he actually says, watch their reaction, hear their fist bumping. He's trying to put the spin on it that the Greenland sail meeting went well. But then when you listen to the Dane, it's a totally different take. The music is from the Democratic Penguins Republic, and it's actually a spoof on Trump. They're not very nice to Trump in that video, but it's a video of penguins and bears getting ready to fight for Greenland because the Trump administration put a 10% tariff on the Heard and McDonald Islands, which are not populated by any people. The only inhabitants are penguins and maybe bears. So I thought it was cute. Figured I'd throw it in there.
We asked for nothing but the cold, a land that does not beg or fold. But the eagle goes mad once more, greedy for Greenland's mineral core.
Yesterday, Trump played big man again, trying to frighten us all that he's not afraid to use military force in order to get Greenland. We are all tired of you, Donald Trump. You must leave the Oval Office before it's too late. American people, please don't listen to this guy. We don't round here. Let me tell you right now, it will not come out as you as the winner, or we as the winner. This is the start of the World War III. And we need to eliminate that as an option. My children, definitely not put into this earth to make a new world war. Have we got any smarter? Do whatever is necessary.
Brothers in frost, be prepared to act.
One ice, one alliance, cold and strong. Through the storm we march along.
Attack on one means war on all. Toe
mental escalation. Watch the eagle fall.
It's inevitable. He's gonna make it happen. That absolute madman. So today, a delegation from Denmark and Greenland met with Vice President J.D. Vance in Washington. And supposedly, an offer was made to purchase Greenland at more than the entire GDP of the Kingdom of Denmark. And you know, it seems to have pleased the Danish delegation, because look at them coming out of the meeting.
Those look like two fellas who just made a great deal.
Bears and penguins kneel to none, are of the seal, our will is one.
From Heard and MacDonald, Southern Ice to Greenland shore, our banners rise.
Hello guys, Frederick here with some breaking news. There just was a meeting in the J.D. Vance's office with Lars Løkke, our foreign minister from Denmark, and Vivian Motzfeldt, the foreign affairs minister from Greenland. And here are my thoughts and what we are thinking here in Denmark. So, of course, we need to do something about the security in the Arctic. And that is why we are choosing to put more troops up there, send more ships up there, and do some more drills on the security. So that is what the American president wants and the vice president wants. And yeah, so we have to do something on that, of course. Otherwise, they are threatening to take it. Meanwhile, we also see that there's this dog sled picture with the sleds either leading towards China, Russia, or towards the White House, which is, of course, provocative. However, I think that the meeting went diplomatically well, and I want to applaud Lars Løkke, our Danish foreign minister. He's very nice. He's an old guy, and he's been in the politics for many years, and he handled it well, I think. My thoughts on it is I think it's that we need to expand militarily in this world. I believe in peace. I believe that we are connected worldwide now, and it shouldn't be necessary. We could do this diplomatically, not militarily. But Trump apparently wants a golden dome over the Arctic to protect against the Russians and Chinese. And as I've said, I feel that we're being forced to live in fear sometimes. But yeah, I think that it went all right, the meeting. We are agreeing to disagree. And we also are such a small nation that we need to obey some of it. That is what we are doing, at least. I also want to say thanks to the Swedes, Germans, and the Norwegians. Thank you, brothers. They have just sent boats up with troops towards Greenland today. And yeah, it feels nice to have some strong brothers as allies, as the Swedes and Norwegians and all the other European countries who are standing by ready if anything were to escalate between US and Greenland and Denmark. Yeah, but anyways, you know my perspective, but peace, love, heads up, stay strong.
The next two are from D.W. Goff Earth and Salty Tattooed Mama.
Bears and penguins kneel to none, our oath is sealed, our will is one.
How many of you know about the Arctic in Greenland? A couple of you, okay. Well, for those of you that don't know, there is a spacecraft that has melted out of the ice in Greenland. As you know, the North Pole has melted completely. You can go from London to Moscow or to Russia by going over the North Pole now. All the ice cap is gone. The last place that has ice on it was Greenland. Greenland had a 18,000 foot ice cap on it. Well, the spacecraft that is anchored in the center of Greenland created the last ice age 50,000 years ago. It's a weather machine. It's 55 miles wide, 300 miles long, and 2 miles high. The people that lived in it were called the Moys. If you draw a straight line from the spacecraft to the Washington Monument in Washington, D.C., through the Yucatan Peninsula Great Pyramid at Mitsubishi, it ends up on Easter Island where the Moys have been dug out of this dirt. The heads on Easter Island? Well, 2 years ago, they finally went ahead and they excavated, and they're all 65 to 85 foot people, full body carvings. And these were the people that lived in the spacecraft that was uncovered that's melting out of the ice in Greenland. So when you think we've been alone, these people have been up there for 50,000 years. The spacecraft is still active after 50,000 years. It has a 200-mile dampening field where no electrons can flow into it. In 1947, a B-52 bomber flew into that pattern, into the dampening field, when trying to fly between Maine and London. As a result of that, they lost power and crashed in Greenland. As they sent in rescue B-52 bombers to rescue them, they hit that same dampening field, but they veered off. They just ricocheted off of it. By testing, trying to get to these guys, they were able to bring a circumference and find out that there was an object 200 miles to the center of this field. On the southwest corner of Greenland, there is a small community. It's the only community on the island of Greenland. That community is a military post, CIA, that uses a compressed air generator to operate diesel engines to run a Caterpillar to run back and forth to 200 miles from the base to the object in Greenland. A lot of our technology comes from the reverse engineering out of the spacecraft. It is still functional and is still in operation. So it's pretty important what this thing is. All the nations worldwide are up there with the United Nations, and they're all acting, you know, working together.
Arms to Greenland, crate by crate. A strong nation will not capitulate. Bears and penguins laugh at death. Cold purpose fills their final breath.
Let's talk about the United States wanting to purchase Greenland. First off, this is not the first time that this has come up in the last century and a half. If we go back to 1867, Andrew Johnson explored purchasing Greenland and Iceland the same year that the United States purchased Alaska. And then, in 1946, after World War II, Harry Truman formally offered Denmark $100 million in gold to buy Greenland. Denmark refused, but the United States kept permanent military access there. That's how we ended up with Patuxent Space Base. And then, in 2019, Donald Trump floated the idea of purchasing Greenland again. So why does Greenland keep coming up? It's simple geography. The shortest routes between Russia and North America run over the Arctic, and Greenland sits directly in that corridor. That is why the United States operates the upgraded early warning radar in Patuxent Space Base. It's run by the 12th Space Warning Squadron, providing early warning of ballistic missile launches to National Command Authorities and NORAD. Now, critics will say that we don't need Greenland because there's NATO. But here's where that argument falls apart. The United States covers roughly 70% of NATO's total defense spending. NATO's own guideline is 2% of GDP for defense spending. In 2024, 22 of 32 NATO countries actually hit that 2% benchmark, which means 10 of them did not. So Greenland is strategic insurance. It gives the United States Arctic access, missile warning advantage, and a permanent foothold that does not depend on coalition politics. And it reduces how dependent we are on impotent alliance structures where the U.S. is still carrying the largest share of the load. This is not empire building like some would like you to think. This would be a purchase. It's negotiated, voluntary, and paid for. Something that has been done throughout history by multiple countries. This is what we call self-reliance, which I know is a very foreign concept for a lot of y'all. And make sure you keep an eye on the House bill that was just introduced that would give Greenland statehood. I'll keep you updated.
Bears and penguins kneel to none. Our oath is sealed, our will is one.
From Heard and MacDonald, Southern Ice to Greenland shore, a banner's rise.
I need to call an emergency cookie press conference.
The next triple shot is from Simply Polish, Cal Clark 311, and Salty Tattooed Mama again.
Wait, hold up, Hillary. What was that again?
No one is above the law.
Well, here we are again. I don't think it's any secret. Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton joined her husband in defying a bipartisan lawful congressional subpoena to show up today. I think what's most disappointing to the Oversight Committee is the fact that we have, in good faith, negotiated with the Clintons' attorneys for 5 months. Throughout the past 5 months, they've implied to us they were trying to make a date work. In fact, the last date we had, they notified us 3 days beforehand, said that they would love to come, but they have a funeral to attend. And we have been over backwards to try to schedule the Clinton. I'm still talking. Go ahead. Hey, get him out of here. You're not even a reporter. Get out of here. So here's the situation. We're going to hold both Clintons in criminal contempt of Congress. We believe that because this subpoena was issued in a bipartisan fashion, the Democrats acted the day that the subpoenas were voted on in the subcommittee like they wanted the Clintons to come.
Wait, hold up, Hillary. What was that again?
No one is above the law.
Well, this just in, Somali Senator Ahmed Nur has been arrested. Well, they went to arrest him for sexual assault, found $14.3 million and 23 bricks of cocaine in his office. What an upstanding citizen. What a stalwart, shining member of the Somali community. I mean, I keep a half case of Coors Light in my office. Maybe a can of Copenhagen. I know that's kind of wild, but then again, I'm not a senator. What a crazy news story. And you know what? This is happening more and more in America, where our elected officials are found with huge amounts of contraband and are accused of sexual assault.
A whistleblower just leaked the personal data of 4,500 ICE agents in the biggest data breach the Department of Homeland Security has ever seen.
That's not whistleblowing. That's multiple federal felonies. Let's break this down, Burning Staff. If that data comes from DHS systems, that's theft or conversion of government records. A felony. Up to 10 years in prison. If they access systems that they weren't authorized to or went beyond their job scope, that's computer fraud and abuse. Another felony. Up to 10 years in prison. If they disclose non-public government information they were entrusted with, that's another felony. Another 5 years in prison and a lifetime ban from federal employment. And if that leaking info causes fear, harassment, or threats against the agents or their families, that's interstate stalking. Up to 10 years in prison. Anyone who coordinated it, that's conspiracy. Anyone who knowingly amplified it, that's aiding and abetting. By the way, you amplified it. Calling it whistleblowing does not make it legal. Whistleblower protections do not cover doxing federal agents.
This is a clear sign that not only are American citizens unhappy with what ICE is doing, members of the Department of Homeland Security itself are unhappy with what they're doing.
Except the data says otherwise. About 70% of Americans support border enforcement. Around 60% support deporting illegal immigrants who commit crimes, which is exactly ICE's legal mission. Leaking and publishing agents' personal information is not activism. It's a federal felony. I don't know if you've been paying attention, but there's a lot of FAFO going around. So don't be dumb. This was fun. Have a day.
Next up, and it's a long one, Trump's great healthcare plan.
Today I'm thrilled to announce my plan to lower healthcare prices for all Americans and truly make healthcare affordable again. We're doing things that nobody's ever been able to do. We're calling it the Great Healthcare Plan. Instead of putting the needs of big corporations and special interests first, our plan finally puts you first and puts more money in your pocket. The government is going to pay the money directly to you. It goes to you, and then you take the money and buy your own health care. Nobody's ever heard of that before, and that's the way it is. The big insurance companies lose, and the people of our country win. This proposal locks in the massive discounts on prescription drugs that my administration is achieving through our most favored nation drug pricing agreement. Now, when you hear about that, for 40 years they've been trying to do it, but they never were able to do it. No other president was able to do it. I got every other country to approve it by the use of tariffs and other things. They all approved it. Nobody else got it. No other president got it. And for the most part, they didn't even try because they felt it was impossible. It'll bring down drug prices 80, 90%, in some cases, just numbers that nobody's ever heard of before. Your prescription drugs will come way, way down. And under this policy, the prices of many drugs will be slashed by 300, 400, and even 500% starting this month at the TrumpRx.gov. So instead of Americans paying the highest drug prices in the world, which we have for decades, we will now be paying the lowest cost paid by any other nation. So any other nation that's paying the lowest cost, that's what we're going to pay, and the American people will get the savings. So I have to reiterate, the lowest price in the world is what you're going to pay. Before, you were paying the highest price in the world by far, and the politicians did nothing about it. So I'm asking Congress to complete the work that we've started. Next, my plan would reduce your insurance premiums by stopping government payoffs to big insurance companies and sending that money directly to the people. Obamacare was designed to make insurance companies rich. I call it the Unaffordable Care Act. With billions of dollars in taxpayer subsidies that helped their stock prices skyrocket over 1,700%, as you paid more money for healthcare every single year, more and more. The premiums went higher and higher. I want to end this flagrant scam and put extra money straight into the healthcare savings account in your name, and you go out and buy your own healthcare, and you'll make a great deal. You'll get better healthcare for less money. That way you can choose the care that is right for your family. To further reduce insurance premiums, my plan ends the giant kickbacks to insurance brokers and corporate middlemen that only drive up the costs, and that's what they're intended to do, drive up the costs. But we're driving down the costs. And it fully funds a long-neglected part of the law known as the Cost Sharing Reduction Program. This measure alone should cut premiums on the most popular Obamacare plans. It's hard to believe there are any, because it's a hated program. It's unaffordable, but it's going to cut them by an average of 10 to 15%. Next, the Great Healthcare Plan. That's the name. It's called the Great Healthcare because it's great healthcare at a lower price. Mandates unprecedented accountability and transparency from insurance companies and all healthcare providers so that special interests can no longer profiteer at your expense. As the saying goes, sunlight is the best disinfectant. That is why my plan orders all insurance companies to publish rate and coverage comparisons in very plain English. It requires insurers to publish detailed information about how much of your money they're going to be paying out in claims versus how much they're taking in profits. In other words, you will be able to watch the scam. It forces them to release detailed data on how many claims are being denied and whether those denials are eventually overturned on appeal. And most importantly, it will require any hospital or insurer who accepts Medicare or Medicaid to prominently post all prices at their place of business so that you are never surprised and you can easily shop for a better deal or better care. And you're going to end up doing both. You're going to get a better deal and better care. We will have maximum price transparency, and costs will come down incredibly. I'm calling on Congress to pass this framework into law without delay. Have to do it right now so that we can get immediate relief to the American people, the people I love. Thank you very much.
The next clip from New York City Drivers Unite is the Mondami one.
Hey folks, here's the story about Mondami the Mocha.
This is the hand of the line for you, playboy. Maybe if you come around our neighborhood messing around no more, I hope they take your car and your house away from you.
We gotta run those plates and see if they still got a lot of tickets. I'm gonna talk to the security detail right here. I'm gonna talk to this guy. Yo, boss. Boss, can you hear me?
Yeah, what's up?
Listen, you know the plate on this car?
Yeah.
I ran the plate on this car. Yeah. It's got thousands and thousands of dollars of tickets. You know that?
I'll take care of it, man. I didn't know that.
No, I'm not asking you to take care of it. This is not your car. This is not your car, is it?
No.
But it's the mayor, this is the mayor's car. Yes, this is the mayor's car. Trust me, I know the mayor. This is the mayor's car, and he's running around the city. This car got plenty of tickets, over $20,000 in tickets. It doesn't matter. He was using his car for his campaign for 6 months. He's been using his car. Yeah, same plate, brother. Maybe it's a different car, but it's same plate. All right, I'm just letting you know. Huh? It's the same plate. It's the same plate. It doesn't matter. He's using his car, and it's got $20,000, $30,000 in tickets. 85 speeding tickets through school zones. All right? Are you the one speeding through the school zones? Is it you driving? All right, I'm a driver. I'm a driver advocate. He knows who we are. And he's breaking the law, and he just became mayor. Rivera, he knows who I am. Rivera, huh? Raul, he knows. Right there. That same plate right there. That same plate. You see that? And he's still running around. That same plate. And I've been waiting for a chance to tell you something. You drive around that big old expensive car. You got to obey the law just like everybody else. You're a worse criminal than the worst criminal. Now lock him up, Smitty, and get him out of here.
And from the real Toria Brooke, the $1.2 billion New York fraud scandal.
Breaking news out of New York, a multi-billion dollar fraud scandal that's even bigger than what happened in Minnesota. The fraud mainly stems from the consumer-directed personal assistance program, which enables elderly and disabled New Yorkers to help pay for their caregivers. Because the program doesn't require formal caregiver strict oversight, it became an easy target for people to falsify bills, claims, and to bill for care that wasn't provided, or exploit loose regulations. People were paid hundreds of thousands of dollars for caregiving when the supposed patient actually lived abroad. Believe it or not, family members even impersonated the patients. A lawyer who specializes in Medicaid fraud said this situation is 10 times worse than the Minnesota fraud. The CDPAP spending has ballooned rapidly from a few billion dollars to over $12 billion in 2025 alone. Looks like the government is going to have to send another person to be the face of uncovering this New York fraud.
Right, and the Godfather made all his money selling olive oil.
Okay, it's time to have a little fun with some comedy and then a recipe. Yeah, I'm going to run over a little bit, but I can do that on this network. First one is from Daily Comedy Cave.
So my son's in a Christian school. They're very strict. They have cameras everywhere, a lot of rules. It's fine. But one day I get a phone call while he's in kindergarten, and they're like, Dave, you need to come in. Something happened to your son. I said, is he okay? They go, yeah, he just got in a bit of trouble. I was like, oh, is he still 5 years old? They said, yeah. I said, oh, you can just go ahead and handle that in-house. And they said, no, it's pretty serious. And I said, it's not. Was he selling fentanyl on the playground again? Pimping out the bitches in his class? Like, it's not his fault. You see how they dress. They're... So I go in, and they have this, like, monitor set up, and they're showing me this video. So my son, he's a kindergartner. He's reading a book that's, like, this thick in the library, like, looking at pictures. And this kid who's in fifth grade walks up to him, knocks the book out of his hand, shoves my son. My son goes flying back, cracks his back on the corner of a wall. You can tell he's in a lot of pain. So the kid's walking away. My son reaches down, grabs the book, walks towards him, jumps up in the air, cracks him in the face, and the kid drops. Right? They didn't clap, but my honest response was, oh, it was gangster. So they said, you don't support this, do you? I'm like, no, it's my, mine's the little one. It's fine. And they said, he's supposed to tell the teacher. I said, oh, he's not a narc. They said, no, we have a no bullying policy at this school. We need to know who the bullies are. And I said, it's the one on the ground. And they said, please talk to him. And I was like, all right. So I'm driving him home. And I'm 40, but I'm not an adult. And I'm driving him, and he's in the back seat. And I'm thinking, like, what my dad would say. I'm like, all right, son. In life, people are going to pick on you. They're going to be mean to you and cruel to you and attack you and say things that are going to hurt you and physically hurt you, and you're going to want to get them back. But you need to understand that when you choose to get them back, you need to make sure there are no cameras. Exactly what a good parent would do, right? And then we went for ice cream because he's a hero.
Now, while you're listening to some promos, go grab a pen and paper for the recipe. The entry music, sometimes my halftime music, and the ending music are all provided by my good buddy Pat Carr, a wonderful original musician from Louisiana, now residing in Colorado. You can check him out at http://www.itunes.com/Pat Carr. Pat's at AllMusic, Apple Music, YouTube, SoundClick, Spotify, Google Play, iTunes. He is all over the place. Please check him out, support his music, and tell him Maggie sent you. Are you a real estate agent or a content creator who feels like you're just throwing spaghetti at the wall with your marketing? You're an expert in your field. You shouldn't have to be an expert in algorithms, too. Stop guessing and start growing. V. Smith Media takes the mystery out of your digital footprint. They don't do one-size-fits-all. They have specific consulting packages designed just for your industry. Whether you're selling houses or running an online store or creating courses, webinars, podcasts, and books. Pick the package that fits your goals. Visit vsmithmedia.com to get you sorted. This recipe for a soy garlic chicken from Leah's Cohen, she didn't give any measurements. It looks like she's just eyeing everything, which is how I cook anyway. So use your best judgment. I'm sure it'll come out fabulous.
Let's make soy garlic chicken. Growing up, my mom was known for her fried chicken that was tossed in a soy garlic sauce. It was a simple dish, but she cooked it really well. This is basically the same version, but using boneless chicken thighs and pan frying it. Coat your chicken in cornstarch, then pan fry it until both sides are golden brown and crispy. Saute garlic and ginger in butter, add soy sauce, brown sugar, make that into a glaze, then coat the chicken with the sauce, garnish with scallions, and eat this with a big bowl of rice.
And finally, I've had this clip from Josh Sider for about 4 weeks. I've been meaning to play it, but I keep running out of time. If you haven't seen his videos before, look him up. He's hysterical. He infiltrates the liberals and schools them. This one is about defunding the police. He goes up to a protester and asks to join. Check out his clippies because his costumes and his mannerisms make me roll with laughter.
Can I join you? So, are you with the Abolish the Police people?
Uh-huh.
Can I join?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, I'm early, so.
Me too.
Okay, and so my only concern if we abolish the police is what are we going to do about all the gun violence here?
Background checks.
Okay, so, and what about ICE? Do you want to get rid of them too?
Yeah.
Okay, isn't ICE basically doing what your background checks and gun laws do?
Huh.
Well, ICE, they track all the illegals that are in the country, and you want stricter gun laws to track the guns in the country?
So?
So, why do you want to keep one and get rid of the other?
Because?
Okay, but, so you want to track the guns in the country, but not track the illegals that are bringing the guns into the country? Okay, well, then the guns aren't going to be illegal when you make the laws. They'll just be undocumented guns living in sanctuary homes.
Man, get up out here.
What? No, I'm joining your protest.
No, I'm about to go inside and get the police on you.
You're going to get the police on me, the yeah. same ones you want to abolish.
Yeah.
Good thing you haven't abolished them yet. So, all right, I'll just walk with you. That's all right. We can keep walking.
Bro.
Well, now you sound like a right-wing Nazi. Why are you trying to deport me? You're getting the police that you want to abolish 5 seconds ago? All right, bro.
Well, that's my show for tonight, folks. Please like, share, and subscribe to my videos and channels wherever you're watching. Join the Trim Radio Network Creator Studio. You can hear great shows like Peter Kling's Revelation, Thursday nights at 9 Eastern Standard, and the Red Pill Reality Show by my good buddy Rascala, Saturdays from 9 to 12 Eastern Standard. Thank you all for listening. Take care of yourselves and each other. We'll see you next week. Good night, everybody.